It's time for our monthly catch-up with RNIB's campaigns team. And joining us from our Camden studios is Costa Asprey. Costa, how are we?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Great, yet not too bad. Have you been enjoying all this fantastic weather?
I have. It's taken a bit of a change recently, but it feels refreshing.
Need a bit of rain, though, don't we? We've got a few topics to chat through. We catch up with Costa every month to look at some of the big campaigns, some requiring your help, and also to encourage you to get involved as a volunteer campaigner. If you're blind or partially sighted or know someone who is, then you and they could get involved and help change lives, not just in your area, but across the UK and beyond as well. Now, we're going to start first of all with Costa with a big topic, quite a new slant on an old topic, if you like. We're looking at shared space and transport.
That's right, and we're starting from the question, how can sharing a space with vehicles and cyclists be safe if you can't see what's coming? Shared space, or shared services, is a relatively new concept in urban street design in which road markings, pedestrian-controlled crossings and pavements are eliminated in favour of a space which is shared by pedestrians, cyclists and vehicles. We've been campaigning on this issue for some time, and thanks to your help, we're delighted to say that the Department for Transport has taken our concerns into consideration.
I can really empathise with people. I'm a guide dog owner myself, and you know, shared space, I hate using them. I find them unsafe. They're not easy to navigate. Pretty confusing for the guide dog as well. And not just people with guide dogs, people with canes as well find these really difficult. And Hugh Huddy is also with us because this is a bit of a contentious issue, Hugh. And although, as Costa said, shared space is relatively new, you know, the arguments have been there from the start, really, about these.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, Alan, if you're visually impaired, like us, you can't even tell when you're in a shared space. You know, for motorists and cyclists, there should be signage which tells them they're moving into a shared space. Now, if you've got any residual vision, you may know about those signs. But people like me, we just don't know. And so the first thing you might learn about it when you move into a place you haven't been to for a while that's been regenerated is that you find yourself in the middle of the road.
And I, as a guide dog owner, again, you know, the dog uses things like kerbs to navigate. You know, that's when the dog knows, right, I need to stop here because going up or I'm going down a kerb, I could be going onto a roadway. They're gone. Even if you're a cane user, a lot of the demarcations are gone as well. And what always makes me, I don't want to use the word laugh at this because it is quite serious, is that some of the guidance says make eye contact with the drivers to let them know you want to cross the road. How on earth do you do that?
It's actually what the highway code says. I got a copy of the updated highway code from the Department for Transport last month, and I also laughed as I read it, Alan. But it, as you say, this is deadly serious. These spaces do increase the risk for those of us who are blind and partially sighted, whether it's the sensation of risk or just the fact that we're having to hand over that sense of control, that knowing where we are, to cyclists and drivers and just hoping that they've seen us. It's actually quite a horrible feeling.
It's that apprehension and can keep people away from city and town centres.
That's right. Shared space designers are actually designing it to try and improve the quality of the streets. Now, if anyone's burst out laughing at that, I totally understand why. We at RNIB, the last thing we want to do on behalf of all of our supporters and everyone out there, we're working together to make the streets accessible, inclusive, safe, and also good air to breathe, people being healthy, being able to move around the environment, shop, be in the city centre feeling like it's not dominated by cars. These are all the aims of shared space, is what they're for. So there's nothing negative about it, you know. It was never designed to stop blind people getting around. It's been a side effect of it, though. And it's because the guidance that the Department for Transport produced, unfortunately, has kind of let all sorts of inaccessible, uninclusive design, like the removal of curbs and the removal of signal control crossings, kind of let it all just go through and get replaced with these communal shared spaces.
Now, Costa said there's a review going to take place here, or is it a kind of halt in the progression? What are they going to do? What can we expect?
What has happened has actually taken us by surprise a bit. We were not expecting the Department for Transport to put their foot down and say, pause it. Shared space schemes that are in the planning and that involve level surfaces should be paused. Now, that we were a bit surprised about because they could have said that last year when the Women in Inequalities Select Committee reported to the government. It's chaired by a Conservative, Marie Miller. And they said, very straight and simple, they recommend to the government that shared space is halted until the problems with it are resolved. Now, the government has actually acceded to that. They've just said it needs pausing. It needs to be looked at again.
And good news this is as well. I mean, Costa, you guys have probably heard from members, connectors, you know, friends and family that there are issues with this and probably people looking to get involved. And people can still do that, though, can't they?
That's right. And as always, if you'd like to get involved with RNIB campaigns like Campaigning on Shared Space, we have some great resources to help you and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer.
And we will give more contacts at the end as well if people want to get involved. Hugh, this is a great sign. You know, we've been waiting for this for some time now. Are there other groups that could get involved in this as well? Could we see, do you think, a cessation completely? Could we just have some of the current spaces looked at again and redesigned? And you know, when I say that, I'm also conscious that that can cost money to redo a lot of these existing schemes.
Alan, you've raised the key things that we ourselves are hurriedly getting our heads around now in the campaigns team. We've been ploughing through the inclusive transport strategy. It contains not that much detail about shared space and this request for councils to pause the development. We talk to the government all the time. We take the voices of blind and partially sighted people to the government. But it's no good, is it, if they've left it vague. At the moment, the questions are, will existing schemes get ripped off and built again? I think the answer to that is just highly unlikely. I mean, the public finances are not in a position to be paying for huge retrofitted schemes. So I think we all know the answer to that one already. The other question is, but will they stop this shared space idea for all new schemes as well? Will they be putting signal control crossings back, putting all the curbs back into the new designs? Again, well, how are they going to do that? Because they're trying to get cars to reduce their speed. They're trying to get much more cycling to keep the carbon down, to get the society switched over to zero carbon transport. All this stuff's huge. It's not just going to stop for a few blind people. That's the challenge that we've got. So I think the questions are really big now. What is going to happen next? And that is why we at RNIB want to join up with our other charities in the sector campaigning for the same thing so that we can bring together lots of valid views about what should be done about it. It has to be practical and we have to get together with the industry because these solutions have to be ones that are born out of consensus. We need to sort of end this argument and end the rows because that way there won't be the solutions. So we do have to do something quite amazing now to turn this around and get our streets accessible again.
And it is a chance to sort of grab and run with this. You know, I normally would say to you, Hugh, what are the next steps? But as you say, still putting this together, what do we do? Because this is such an unexpected announcement. But people power will still be paramount to this, won't it? You mentioned hearing from people, and it's hearing from the people at the tip who are actually affected by all this that can make a big difference.
Yes. We need to know from you listening how it's impacting you. We know it's not good. We know people are scared about these shared space areas. We know that losing signal control crossings, and by the way, that's not always because of shared space. Sometimes signal control crossings have been taken out to improve the crossing experience. I know it sounds completely counterintuitive, but in areas where the traffic flows drop beneath sort of levels like 100 cars an hour, then the local authorities just say, well, why have a signal control crossing? There's only a little over a car a minute going past. Why do you need one? And these are the sorts of big questions that we've got to come to grips with. The cityscape, the towns that we're living in, they are gradually changing. You know, the traffic flows and the way cycles and electric cars and coming up very quick, autonomous vehicles. All of this stuff over the next 10, 15 years, this is going to be our reality now. And I think that's why we have to get together as blind and partially sighted people to make sure that this business of us, our voice having been lost in the whole shared space business. Let's be honest, we didn't win, did we? the schemes went through. Some of them didn't. They did get stopped, but many did. And the fact is, if we want accessible streets, if we want inclusive streets, now's the time to connect with each other and connect with RNIB and other organisations so that we can bring the message in a very clear way to government and in a way that architects and engineers can convert into what they're actually doing on the streets. And unfortunately, I don't think it does mean turning the clock back. It means coming up with new ways of doing this.
Hugh Huddy, thank you. And Costa will give us some more details a little bit later on how you can get involved in not just the Shared Space campaign, but many of RNIB's current campaigns as well. And even if there's an issue that you have, then they want to hear from you. But for the moment, Costa, let's stick with one of the current campaigns, looking at education for children.
It's about education support, and last month we told you about our Children and Young People's campaign, where we're asking for more support and financial assistance to be made available to ensure that education and learning opportunities are of a high quality for all blind and partially sighted children and young people. Unfortunately, for many, getting access to education is not always easy, and they're not receiving the support they need to achieve and succeed in education. To secure change, we need to build a strong case that children and young people with vision impairment are being let down, what is going wrong, and what needs to happen next. And that's where you come in. We've opened a survey, which is anonymous, and we'll use the results to identify some of the key challenges blind and partially sighted young people face in their educational journeys and to inform our forthcoming education campaign.
Education being absolutely critical for young people and their development, Costa, but you are looking for a little bit more feedback.
We are indeed. And if you're a blind or partially sighted young person recently in education or the parent of a child with a vision impairment, we want to hear from you. Take our survey and help ensure no one goes without the education support they need.
Great stuff. Let's take a look at health now. We've had education. Health is another big topic, but this is more about getting information.
That's right, and many people have told us in the past that getting your health information in an accessible format was very important, and together we campaigned to make this possible. In August 2016, the NHS Accessible Information Standard 1605 was introduced in England. The Accessible Information Standard states that people in England have the right to accessible information and communication support. This means that if you're blind or partially sighted, you can request your health information in your preferred format, such as Braille, audio, or large print. Unfortunately, many of you are telling us that the standard is not being enforced and you're still not getting your health information in the format you need. And that's why we created an Accessible Information Standard toolkit to make sure you get your health information in your format. It includes information on the Accessible Information Standard itself, a guide to requesting accessible information from your GP or hospital clinic, template letters you can use when making your accessible information request, and information on what to do if you continue to receive inaccessible health information. Visit the RNIB campaign's webpage and you can download the toolkit.
It's amazing, you know, Costa, that this has taken so long to get to this stage in terms of getting accessible information to people with a visual impairment. You know, we had stories of people getting letters about their appointment at the eye clinic and they're completely blind, but they're coming in a written format. You know, it's astounding, but you want more people to get involved. And again, this is all down to people power to not just help create change or create legislation, but when laws are brought in or changes are brought in, it's really important that people use them, doesn't it? And tell other people that it's there.
And the more people who are making these requests show that people need this, and also the more people who are actually following through on those requests and taking action, if unfortunately they don't receive the accessible formats, that will put the pressure on those health services to actually deliver them.
And hopefully roll out across the rest of the UK as well, Costa. Now, we are always encouraging people to get involved, to become volunteer campaigners in their areas, whether they're blind or partially sighted, or sighted as well, because, you know, I think we've mentioned a few times now, even in the past 10 minutes, that it's the people at the front line who are affected by this who can really affect change. And perhaps, you know, a little problem in your own area, bins on the pavement, you know, that's a UK-wide thing, and you know, getting involved in that can help spread change as well. So we are encouraging more people to get involved. So how can they do that?
Well, they can access our resources on the RNIB website at rnib.org.uk/campaigns, or you can get in touch with us and we can put you in touch with your local regional campaigns officer. Just call our campaigns hotline on 0207 391 2123 or email campaigns@rnib.org.uk.
And those details are also, if you want to get involved in the campaigns we've been chatting about today, whether that's around shared space, education for visually impaired children and young people, or indeed the Accessible Health Information Standard as well. Well, we'll be back next month with more from Costa, but in the meantime, thanks for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.